the Rambam in Shoresh, well, let's start with this. The Rambam may have mentioned, I don't know, the Rambam wrote Sefer HaMitzvot, fascinating, he wrote Sefer HaMitzvot, and the Shoreshim of Sefer HaMitzvot, which is a tremendously important work, as are the Hasagot of the Ramban on Sefer HaMitzvot, the whole study in of itself. The Rambam wrote Sefer HaMitzvot, incidentally in Arabic. The Rambam wrote Sefer HaMitzvot for the purpose, for the following purpose. He wanted to write Mishnah Torah, and at least this is what he says. He wanted to write Mishnah Torah, and he wanted to be comprehensive, to include all of Torah, all of Halacha, and therefore, his plan for being comprehensive was to base it on the Tariq Mitzvot. So he needed a list of the Tariq Mitzvot. He said that if I'm going to just list the Tariq Mitzvot as I see it, people are going to come along and they're going to look at the list and say, the Rambam made a mistake here and a mistake there, and chulei, because after all, we know that that's not the correct list, because we know from the Bahag, who has an earlier list, and from Rav Saadia Gaon, who has his list, and so on. So the Rambam explains exactly what his principles or ikarim, or you know, his methodology for counting things, not counting things, counting some things as two things, some things as one. And these principles are the ikarim, the hakdama to Sefer HaMitzvah. In Shoresh Rishon, his first shoresh, the first principle is she'ein ra'oi limno b'chal hazeh. Hamitzvot shehein midrabanan. Besides midrabanan, you don't count it in Tariq Mitzvot.
Wait, which book did he write about his mitzvot? What was the book with just a list?
Sefer Mitzvot. And there's Sefer Mitzvot, which is both a listing and explanation of the Tariq Mitzvot, but also has, in the beginning, the Shoreshim, which are the principles, how he went about his methodology. Da ki zeh ha'inyan lo haya ra'ui l'orer alav l'veiro. Says it should have gone without saying that of course you're not counting to rabbanans. Who would have a high mean you count to rabbanans? Ki achar shaya l'shon ha'talmud. Since the principle of the Tariq Mitzvot comes from the Gemara at the end of Makot, where it says sheish me'ot u'shlosh esrei mitzvot nemru lo l'moshe b'sinai. Right, that there were 613 mitzvot said to Moshe Sinai, Ech namar dvar shumid rabbanan, shum mechlal ha-minyan. So what's the havamin that you count to rabbanan in Tariq mitzvot, nemar l'moshe m'sinai? By the way, the Bahag, who counted differently, who did, the Rambam is about to attack the Bahag, and this is pointed out by a number of mefarshim, the Bahag had a different gerus than the Gemara in the end of Makkah. He did not have the same gerus as the Rambam. If you look in the Bahag, it's obvious that it's clear that he has a different gerusa. In any case, aval herinu alav. Why did we need to get involved in this whole issue? Mepnei sheta'u bo rabim umanu. Many who did make a mistake about this, so I have to explain it. Umanu ner chanuka umik megillah bechal mitzvah. And they counted amongst the mitzvot things like ner chanuka and mikra megillah. The Ram goes on to discuss it, and he says, why did they do such a stupid thing, says the Rambam? So the reason that they counted it, such as the Bahag is the classic example, the Gemara, in our very Masechta Shabbos, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph, the famous Gemara, Heichan Tzivanu, what do you mean, Asher Kisham Asavet Tzivanu? Where does the Torah command us to light Ner HaChanukah? Ve'amru, and the Gemara answers, Milo Tasar. It's actually one of two answers. The Netziv talks about the difference between the two. Not our Indian right now. In any case, Ve'im Mitam Zemanuotam, if that's the reason that the Bahag, for example, counted Ner HaChanukah, Mikra Megillah, because Heichan Tzivanu, so the Torah did command us, so we see it's a mitzvah. If that's the case, hinei ra'ui shimnu kol davar shumid rabbanan. So you have to count every rabbanan. Ki kol ma shamru chachamim la'asoto. Anything that they told us to do, and all of that, b'chol ma shiziru mimenu. Or anything that they told us not to do. Kvar tziva Moshe b'sinai, sheitzavunu v'kaimo v'hu amro al pi atra asher yorucha v'al mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh. And the Asara is Miavor B'davar Aviziru Miavor B'davar Mikol Mash Diknu O Gazru V'Amar Lo Tassur Me'Davar Asher Gidu Chayim Minu Smol V'im Yimaneh Kol Mash Midrabanan B'chlal Targ Mitzvot M'nei Shunichnas Tachat Amro Yitala Lo Tassur M'nei Ma'manu B'prat Elu V'lo Manu Zulatam. The Rambam says, I understand you're counting a Drabanan in the Targ Mitzvot. Why? Because after all, any Iser Drabanan or Tzivoy Drabanan is ultimately a Doraita, says the Rambam. I agree with that. Okay, I agree with that. The Ramban disagrees, but the Rambam says, I agree in principle that that's true, that Ner Chanukah, if you don't light Ner Chanukah, you say, I'm not going to light Ner Chanukah, so you're over on the Lotasar. So it's true. It's a Doraita. However, says the Rambam, the Seder. But if you're going to start counting Drabanans, you have to count every Drabanan. And that means that there's going to have to be one of the Targ Mitzvot is going to be Muktzah, one of the Targ Mitzvot is going to be Netilat Yadayim, one of the Targ Mitzvot is going to, and so on and so on and so on, right? And there's, right, and then you're going to have, who knows, how many Mitzvot, not Taryag, right? Because we can count every Drabanan. So the Rambam says,
claiming that every Drabanan is actually Midaraita?
The Rambam says that he accepts that, not just not Hamir. The Rambam says that as far as he's concerned, it's true that every Drabanan is Doraita. However, you have to be consistent. Either you count all of them or you count none of them. Because the Torah says in Parsha Shoftim that you have to listen to what Chacham tell you. So if you have to listen to what Chacham tell you, so then if they tell you to light Ner Chanukah, the Torah in effect is telling us by extension that you have to light Ner Chanukah. If Chacham tell us not to move Muktzah on Shasah, they're telling us not to do a Malach Hashem and Tzricha L'Gufa, whatever it is, so that's all included in the Doraita.
How could they say that their Doraita is included in Doraita?
I told you, because the Torah says that you have to listen to what Chacham said. The question, in other words, the Rambam's dispute with the Bahag is not whether Ner Chanukah and Mikra Megillah, etc., is Da'oraita. Ultimately, his dispute is whether each of these Drabanan should be counted as a separate mitzvah. That's his dispute. And he says, once you start counting the individual Drabanans, right? In those, Ram says, I count Lotasar as one of the Targ Mitzvah, right? And then it applies to each one of these things. But if you're going to count each one individually, then you can't do that because, you know, how can you... Simi? Or Micha? I think there's some kind of little sitter or something on the floor. Pick up. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, Michal, you had you were raising your hand? That's my house?
No.
I'm sorry for the distraction. Okay. Beseder. Okay. So that's what the Rambam says. Says the Ramban, what are you talking about? Aside from discussing and defending the Bahag's counting of Ner Chanukah, etc. Okay, aside from that, the Ramban discusses the particular point that the Rambam makes agav, namely that mitzvot Rabbanan are ultimately Doraita. He says, he goes on for pages and pages and pages, and this is a tiny snippet. If you read the Ramban inside, you'll see Ramban goes through much of Shas and says, you know, you see that it's not true that Rabbanans are not treated like Doraita, and he gives this example and that example, and all kinds of different details. For example, the most prominent, right? Safek d'oraita l'chumra, safek d'rabbanan l'kula, right? So we do not treat them the same. According to Ram, we should treat them the same. Says the Ramban, klaloshel davar shedivrei sofrim chalukim heim bechol dinehem midivrei Torah lahakel be'elu ulachmir be'elu. Right? They are not treated the same. Ve'im haya ha'over al divrehem. Were the Rambam right that every time I fail to keep the halacha midrabanan, it's failing to do something that they formulated takana, whether it's being over on a gzeira, if that's true, then every time I do that, I'm over on an asay and a lotase, an asay of al piatara shayrucha and a lotase of lotasur, hayach chomer gadol bahem. then they would be very chamor. So why are we making in all these ways? Why are we saying sefer rabban lekul? V'chei matzinu shemachmirim b'chol davar shum mitzvah min hakadosh baruch hu afilu al peh v'alchu b'dvarim shem halachu mosh misinei lachmir mehen k'shal Torah. Right, when it comes to the Rabbanan, it's not the case. Okay, this is the Rambam's attack on the Ramban's attack on the Rambam. B'kitzur nimratz, as I said, the Ramban goes on for pages and pages. Okay, but this is the bottom line. And after he goes on for pages and pages and pages, he says, you know, there's a lot more, but this is just a tiny bit of a tiny example.
And that's why he says that they should be included in the...
No, the Rambam also thinks they should be included, but the Ramban goes on to say, the Ramban says that the Rambam's idea that every time you fail to do a mitzvah drabanan or violate an Isser drabanan, it's an Isser doraita, an asay and a lotasay of al piyat rosh aruch and lotasur, that he disagrees with. Okay, that the Ramban disagrees with. And he says, no, drabanans are drabanans, the right. Now the Ramban happens to hold that, not happens to hold, the Ramban clearly says, both in his parish on Sefer Dvarim and elsewhere, that, and Talmidim of the Ramban make this point as well, that doesn't mean that the Torah doesn't mandate dinim d'rabbanan. The Torah empowers them to give, but that it's not a d'oraita. It's a separate thing. Okay, there is a mandate that we have batei din, and then we have halal d'rabbanan and all that, but that doesn't mean that if you're over on a d'rabbanan, you're over on a d'oraita. Okay, that's what the Ramban said. Yes. Yes, Michal.
According to the Ramban, ask of Lotasur,
right.
Is that just giving them the authority of
the
thoughts mandated?
No, the Ramban says something else. The Ramban says that Lotasur is not talking about Gzerot and Takanon and things of that nature at all. The source for Drabanans is a different source, according to the Ramban. Okay, entirely different source.
So,
what he thinks it's referring to is the Torah Sheba Al Peh understandings of the d'oraita, of the mitzvah d'oraita. Meaning, the person says, I'm going to, you know, the Torah says, you know, that you, you know, something like, uchtatam, you know, kshatam liotayadecha, whatever, so I'm going to, you know, write these words on a long piece of paper, and I'm going to tie that onto my hand. Which actually people do. I've seen it, for example. Or, you know, a person says that I'm going to, you know, wear tefillin, but they're going to be round and they're going to be purple and they're going, you know, in other words, the definitions, interpretations, etc., of the mitzvah d'oraita. So if you disagree with the Sanhedrin Agdola and don't accept, you know, the Masorah that we have about what these things mean, you say, I'm going to take a pomegranate or a passion fruit or a, you know, a kumquat or something instead of an estro. Okay? That's what Lotasa... Now, the Rambam agrees that Lotasa refers to that, but the Rambam says it also refers to Dirabana. Okay, everyone agrees it applies to the first category, which the Ramban says. Question is whether it also applies to the second, which the Ramban says. Okay. Now, it's fascinating. What happens then is that if you look in some of the Mefarshim on Sefer HaMitzvot, some of the Achronim on Sefer HaMitzvot, who defend the Rambam, this happens all the time. It's a very interesting thing. The answer that you'll find in some of them is already found in the Ramban. In other words, all the good answers for the Rambam, or the best answers for the Ramban anticipated and negated. So, for example, the Ramban here, and we'll see this more than once, the Ramban here says, and maybe you'll want to say the following, right? But now that's wrong also, okay? But his suggestion is really the true interpretation of the Rambam. There are other interpretations of the Rambam, which are very popular. There's another interpretation which is very popular in many of the major Achronim, appears in Meshech Chachma, in the Tzivos, in a whole bunch of Achronim. I'm not convinced by it. I don't think it's what the Rambam's saying, and I'm not going to get into it right now because I think it'll confuse you more than anything else. But if anyone wants to know what the standard yeshiva interpretation of the Rambam is, I'll be glad to tell you, but I don't think it bears up to scrutiny. So even though some great achronim say it, but I just don't think it's what's going on in the Rambam. And we're going to discuss what is going on in the Rambam. And the Ramban already suggests it and says, yeah, but it's wrong. Okay? But the idea is already found in the Ramban. Summarized in one word. Okay? It's really summarized in one word, and the word is Tanai. Okay? Tanai. Okay? Taf Nun Aleph Yud. Tanai. The Ramban says, perhaps you'll say, V'lai titakesh, maybe you'll be stubborn and you'll say, V'das harav, according to the Rambam, Kimasha amru b'chol makom lahakel b'divrei sofrim, hu b'mechila uv'tnai me'itam, shem etnu b'gzeirot uv'siagim sh'asu la'torah, v'chem b'mitzot shalahem, sh'nelech b'hem l'kula, k'dei l'chalek, u'lafrish b'mashu d'var Torah, b'mashu m'divreihem, af b'shuchol anu mitzuvim min ha'torah, ולא היו ספקות שבדבריהם ראויות להתיר אותן אל מפני התנאי הזה שעשו בהם מתחילתן, ואין אלו דברים הגונים ולא של עיקר. Ramban doesn't have a specific kasha, he just says, nah, right? You just can't say that. What does it mean, tanai? Meaning that maybe the reason that safek to Rabbanan lekula is because that's how Chacham instituted their isur. Right? Maybe Chacham said that that this particular object that's aser mitrabanan is aser, but safek of it, if you have a case of safek x, right, x is aser, but safek x is not aser, right? Just like Chacham never made a gzera that you can't drink water on Shabbos. So too, they said that things that are safek drabanan.
This is what you might have thought.
It is the Ramban's havamina, but it's the Rambam's maskan. This is what the Rambam really says. Okay?
He's saying this isn't Takana in and of itself with the Rabbanit?
Saying that when Chachamim instituted in a global way, not necessarily one by one, but when they instituted their Isurim, Chiyuv, Mitzvah, whatever, they said, we're instituting it, but only on cases of Adai, not on cases of Safek. The Seder? Why would they do such a thing? Simply be in order to distinguish between Derabbanans and Deraitzas. Right? They wanted to make clear that this is Derabbanan. And so they said, we're going to treat it differently. Now the Ramban doesn't like that, but that is the best pshat, indeed the correct pshat in the Rambam. Don't take my word for it, but we'll see it inside Bezer Hashem as we go on. Okay? Let's go on. See, the Rambam says it beferish. But again, the Ramban is not saying necessarily that's not pshat in the Rambam. He's saying that he doesn't think that that's ultimately what's going on, right? That's not what he accepts. But
why don't he just, if that's actually the Rambam with maskana, then why don't he say the Rambam thinks X, Y, Z, but I don't, instead of saying you might have thought.
Well, he doesn't say you might have thought. He said you might.
You're stubborn.
In other words, what he's saying is like this, that the, he's saying that. He's not necessarily saying that he's convinced that this is what the Rambam is saying. Okay, I'm not saying that the Ramban is saying that this is what the Rambam is saying. I'm saying that he suggests it as a possibility in the Rambam. But we will see that this is indeed the correct pshat in the Rambam.
Okay.
Lad. We'll get there. Okay, Seder? This is background as we approach the Sugya and Brachot of Kavod HaBriyot. Okay, the Sugya of Kavod HaBriyot stretches across many different Sugyot and Shas. In Brachot and Shvuot, in Shabbos, in Menachot, it's all over the place. And one of the main sugya is this sugya in Brachot, at least in a certain sense, the longest, most extensive sugya. And the Gemara there says the following: Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Let's take it from the top. I'm going to read it from the Gemara, but. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Hamotzi kilayim bevigdo. Poshtan afilo b'shoch. My time in chachma ve'in tvuna ve'in eitza l'neged Hashem. Kol makom sheishchil Hashem in chokim kavod l'raf. There are two ways you can approach this opening statement. Okay? Rav, and let me explain the flow of the sugya. You may or may not have gotten this from the Gemara, but it's important to understand the basic flow of the sugya, because that will help put everything into perspective. Okay, what happens is that home base for the whole sugya is a statement of Rav. Okay, the statement of Rav, which basically says that Isur is greater than Kavod HaBriyot. Okay, that's basically what Rav says. That's Rav's basic principle. Okay? Right? That if there's an Isur, that trumps the Kavod HaBriyot. Correct? Right? Kol makom sheyesh chil Hashem ein cholkim kavod l'Rav. Now, the Gemara then comes along and has kasha number one, kasha number two, kasha number three, right? I'm not going through the whole thing. But everything then, everything that's going to be brought, we're going to have different sources that we're going to quote, different brightot, etc., that are going to be brought, and all of them are attacks on this principle of Rav. Okay? That's the basic structure of the Gemara. And the Gemara is going to give essentially one answer to all of the questions. Okay? And the answer is, who can tell me the answer in a nutshell? What's the basic answer? It repeats itself again and again and again. What's the basic answer? I'm trying to give you the Reader's Digest version of the Gemara before we do it properly. What's the basic answer? No, that's Rav's principle. But what is the answer? But we have a challenge, and we say, but what about this case? And what about this case? And what about this case? We see just the opposite, that Kavod HaBriyot, right, are greater. All these kashas are going to come from cases where Kavod HaBriyot, right, is in fact greater than the Isur. That's what all these cases are going to have, all the kashas have in common, right? That's why there's a contradiction, or not a contradiction, but a challenge to what Rav says. So what's the answer to the tension between this principle and this principle? What's the answer? The Gemara goes through it many times, but each time the answer is essentially the same. What's the basic answer? If we have all of these sources that say Kavod HaBriyot is greater, how can Rav say that the Isur, that Isur is greater? What's the answer? What? I'm not asking for the answer in a particular case, but overall, globally, what's the answer in all the cases? All one answer, really. How do you answer the tension between Rav and all these cases? That's Rav speaking. I mean, he's calling it possible, but that's Rav's point. What's the answer? The answer is very simple. Rav is talking about what kind of Isur? Okay, Rav is talking about. There are more markers someplace, but okay, I do. Rav is talking about an Isur d'oraita, and all of these sources are going to talk about Isurim that are drabanan. Okay, and that's the basic answer. Now the Gemara then goes on to ask other questions, and there are other answers. Okay, that there are other cases where you say Kavod HaBriyot wins out. Like by
even d'oraita,
like by mamonot, right, where it's a question of a monetary issue, or where it's sheval tasa, right. So in addition, there are also other cases like mamon and sheval tasa, meaning where you're doing it passively, and so on. And we're not going to get into all of those right now. But the answer to the whole first set of kashas is simply a distinction between the Oraita and the Rabbanan. Correct? We're going to do it inside. I just want to give you a basic map of the territory, so then we'll actually go on the hike. But let's first see the basic map. This is the basic map. Okay, that's what the sugya basically does. Okay, so there's more to say, and we're going to clarify this and fine tune it a little bit. This is the basic kivon of the sugya. Okay, at least the first half of the sugya, which is what we're going to focus on. Let's go on. Says the Gemara. Oh, but before we even get to that, I told you, and I think it's true, that Rav's basic principle is that Isurim take precedence over Kavod HaBriyot. Correct? However, if you look at the Gemara, the statement of Rav, it's a little bit, the language doesn't sound like that. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hamotzi Kilayim Bevigdo, Poshtan Afilu Beshuk, Mai Taima, In Chachma Vein Tum Vein Eitz Leneg Hashem. Okay, so that fits with what I said, but then it goes on to say, Kol Makom Sheish Chil Hashem, In Cholkim Kavod L'Rav. Okay. Question is, who's talking about Chil Hashem, and who's talking about Kavod HaRav? Right, where do those elements come into play?
Chil Hashem equals
Iser. Right, so why are we saying Chil Hashem rather than Iser? Why are we saying Kavod HaRav instead of Kavod HaBriot? Right? And there are two possible answers. One answer is what the Rambam does. Okay, if you notice, the Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara, HaRoe Kilayim Shol Torah Al Chaveiro, Afilu Hayim Mahalach B'Shuk, Kofet Alav V'Kor Alav Miyad, V'Afilu Hayim Rabo Shalimdo Chachma, right? So the first possibility is to do what the Rambam does. To say that, we must be talking about, if it says Kavod HaRav, we're talking about that we're not talking about taking off your clothing. It's not saying, well, I find the Shani, so I take off my clothing. That wouldn't fit with the Lashon of Ein Cholkin Kavod HaRav. So it must be that we're talking about that you're taking off someone else's clothing. And that someone else must be your Rebbe, otherwise it doesn't fit. However, there's another possibility besides the way the Rambam understands it, and most Rishonim do not learn like the Rambam, okay? As far as I saw. There's another very simple explanation for the language of the Gemara, and that is, and this is something that we find throughout Shas, sometimes there's a statement that's made in a particular context, right? So a statement is originally made in a particular context. It was said about a particular case. And then it is transplanted and discussed, right, in terms of the core of the idea of that statement in other contexts, right? And sometimes when that happens, you have to look at the other sources, if possible, to see what the original context was. In the case of Kilayim, which is the case of Shatnez, we're not talking about Kavod HaRav, and we're not talking about Chil Hashem, we're talking about Isur versus Kavod HaBriot. But the principle is essentially the same principle. Where did Rav originally say this principle? In what context did Rav originally say this? Where we were talking about Kavod HaRav, and we were talking about Chil Hashem, the answer is what? No, that's not a case of Kavod HaRav. It's not a case of Chil Hashem. Case of Iser versus Kavod HaBriot. I mean, unless you learn like the Rambam. I'm saying if you don't learn like the Rambam, if you learn that we're talking about taking off your own clothing, not someone else's, and we're not necessarily talking about a Rav, because where does it say anything about it? It doesn't say Haroa Kilayim Al Chaver. Haroa Kilayim Bevigdo. Presumably mean your own garment. Rambam reads it to mean I find kilayim in someone else's garment. But in Poshtan, the simple pshat is I am taking off my clothing, not that I'm tearing off someone else's clothing. So Poshtan Afilu B'Shuk, my time, in Chachman, so in Kol Makom Sheish Chil Hashem, in Cholkim Kavod HaRav. Why does Rav use that formulation? The answer is because there's a context in which it's the appropriate formulation. Which context? No, not kilayim. Kilayim is not the appropriate. There it's borrowed terms. What's the original context? Original context is Gemara and Shvuot, right? Tzur b'merabanan diyada b'saduta v'zila b'milta l'meza l'beidina dezutar mine lashude kame lo leza. Etc. So then the Gemara says, "Hani mili b'mamona, I'll be isura in chachma vein tuna vein etzla neged Hashem. Kol makom sheish bo chil Hashem in cholkim kavod l'rav." Right. In other words, the Gemara in Shavuot talks about a person who's a big talmid chacham, and then there's this little dinky local bezdin, and they want to summon him to go and give testimony about a case. So the Gemara says that depending on the type of case it is, If it's a question of that's going to not going to be covered arav for him to go before this inferior bezdin to testify there, so he doesn't have to go, unless it's a case where there's going to be an element of chil Hashem, and if there's an element of chil Hashem, so then kol makom sheish chil Hashem ein cholkim kavod l'rav. In the case in the Gemara in Shavuot where it quotes the same pasuk right about, in Mishlei of ein chachma nitune eitz l'neged Hashem, which is the basis for rav. There it is talking about kavod harav, and there it is talking about chil Hashem, and it's a reasonable conjecture that rav originally said his principle in the context of the case in the Gemara in Shavuot, right? And then it was transplanted into the discussion of kilayim and so on. In other words, it became like an expression for this concept, and it was then, you know, moved around into other contexts. In the kilayim case, that's why Rav Yehuda, the statement in may well be, you know, this is Rav Yehuda's version of what Rav said, it's an application of what Rav said, whatever the case may be. In any case, my point is that we don't necessarily have to learn it like the Rambam. I don't think that everybody did. And we could learn the Gemara simply. It's not talking about one's Rebbe. It's talking about oneself. And it's just talking about not taking off your own clothing or taking off your own clothing, depending on whether it's Shatnez or not. With Shatnez Doraita or not Shatnez Doraita, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's
Rambam. What about Isarim with the case of the testimony? Like, what's the Isar there? Oh, because you're obligated to testify.
Well, no, it has to do with the fact that that it's saying that if it's going to be a case in which, as a result of you're not testifying, so then people are going to be doing an Iser, it's going to be, so that's the case, something along those lines. Okay, without getting too bogged down, we're unsure, which is not really that hard. I just want to show you, I think that it's pretty clear that that's a borrowed phrase from there. Okay, let's continue the Gemara and Bracha. Okay, so that's Rav. So Rav says, Isur without over kavod abriya, right? In chachma veintuna veinetz l'neg Hashem, poshtan afilo b'shok. Continues the Gemara. Meitve. Challenge number one. Kasha number one. Kavru atameit v'chazru v'lifneim shtei drachim. Echad tahora v'achad tmeya. Ba b'tahora ban imo b'tahora. Ba b'tmeya ban imo b'tmeya. There are different girsot and different interpretations, different rishon, the rive, and so on and so forth. Similar shot. Okay, we're talking about whether whether you follow the avel if one is a kohen, even though it's going to mean going through a place that's tameh mishum kvodo kavod abriyot. Says the Gemara, "My lemein chachma vein tunav leneged Hashem." By the way, we're doing this in a very streamlined way because I'm trying to focus just on the point that's relevant for us. We have a lot to do, so it'll be very, very streamlined. It's a lot more to discuss. A huge sugya. We could spend many, many days on it, but we're going to try to do it in a brief fashion. Anyhow, the Gemara says, "Am I lemein chachma intunav leneged Hashem?" So Tirgama Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba interprets this statement of kavruah tameh etc. that the kohanim can go on the derech that's tameh because of kavod abriyot. This is talking about bebeit hapras, which is derabbanan. To Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, and I pay achad bebeit hapras v'holech. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Ashi Mishmei Derab Beit Prasha Nidash Tahor. So bottom line point is, so what do we say? We're talking about Kohanim going on a place where the Tuma is
present.
Is what? Drabanan. Okay, we're talking about the Tuma is Drabanan. The Easter for the Kohen to be Mitame is an Easter Drabanan. So this is the resolution, right? Rav is talking about an Easter Doraita. It's an Isur Doraita beats out Kavod Abriyot, but if it's an Isur Drabanan, so the Kavod Abriyot beats out
the
Isur Drabanan.
Going through a field of
Ibeit HaPras, which is a certain type of Tumah, which I do not want to get involved in because it'll take us much too long. You can look at Rashi and Tos if you like, but Kitzur, point is that we're talking about an Isur Drabanan. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. Okay. Note that Rashi, in explaining this Gemara, Rashi Dibur Matzul Bebeit HaPras, the last few words of Rashi, last line and a half of Rashi, says V'kevan Demid Rabbanan Huda Asur, Rabbanan Huda Achluhu Liakraihu Gabe Avel. Okay, who can sum up that line and a half of Rashi in one word?
Tanai.
Okay. This sounds very much like the Rambam's idea of Tanai. Now notice, this is not in the Gemara. This is in Rashi. But the idea is very parallel. Okay, what we have here in Rashi is very much... In other words, Rashi explains not that Kavod HaBriyot overrides the Yisud Rabbanan, right? But rather, that because of Kavod HaBriyot, Chachamim did not ask her in this case. Okay, let's go a step further. Continues the Gemara. Number two. Tashmat, Amar Rilez Bar Tzadok. Midalgim Hayinu Al Gabi Aron. We used to jump over coffins. Shomaitim, Lekrat Malchei Yisrael. Below Lekrat Malchei Yisrael, Bavad Amru Ela, Filu Lekrat Malchei Akum. Shem Yizke Yafum Malchei Yisrael, Malchei Akum. Amai Le Mechachum Yitzuna Benetz Lenegra Hashem. Okay, there's a lot to discuss here. Is this quote Malachim? Is this quote Kavod HaBriyot? Is it, what type of Kavod Malachim is it? Is it Kavod of Malchei Akum or Kavod of Malchei Yisrael? What does it have to say about Kavod HaBriyot by non-Jews and so on and so forth? There's a lot to discuss, much literature about this, a few lines of Gemara, about these few lines of Gemara, but we're going to plow on. In any case, the Gemara says, in second challenge, we see here that the Kavod HaBriyot beats out the Isur. Answers the Gemara, Kidurava Damarava Dvar Torah Ol Kol Sheyesh Bo Chal Tefa Chotzis B'Pnei Atuma. Okay, if you have a container, or you have a house, or whatever, in this case a coffin, if there's a chalal tefach, if there's a space of a tefach, right, then if there's a space of a tefach before the top lid or layer or roof, so then the tumah does not go up. The tumah ends at that point. It does not continue up. That's when the halacha of tumah v'tahara. And therefore, v'she'en bo chalal tefach eino chotzis b'fnei tumah. Virov aronot, in most cases, a coffin would have a chalal tefach, would have a space for tefach, yesh chalal tefach, and therefore, jumping over an aron in the majority of the cases is not a problem, even though they're kohan, right, even though he's a kohen, his jumping over the coffin would not be a problem because it's not metameh. But, midrabanan v'gazrol sheyesh bahem mishum she'ein bahem. Chacham said that we don't take chances since a minority, but a significant minority, have less than a chalal tefach, you can't, you treat it as if it's metame. Therefore, we're talking about an isa draban, because min haTorah, you can rely on the principle of
safek.
Better than safek. You can't rely on safek. Safek d'oraita is l'chumra. So what do you rely on here? What min haTorah, what would you rely on?
There is that amount of room.
Right, because of what halachic principle? Rov. Right, based on rov. That the majority, right, most of them have a chalal tefach. So min haTorah, I can rely on rov and say that this is one of the normal cases. But midrabanan, they said don't rely on rov, don't go over the aron, don't take a chance. Okay, gazrol sheyesh mishum she'embo, mishum kvod malachim, Lo gazru bahu rabbanan. So this is the second case. And notice, here, what we had in Rashi, in the first case, we now have explicitly in the Gemara in the second case, right? Lo gazru be rabbanan. In a word, what are we saying?
Tanai.
Okay. Number three. Tashma. Gadol kavod HaBriyot shedochet lo taseh shebatorah. Here we're not talking about one case. We're talking about a general principle. It's dochet lo taseh shebatorah. Said in front of Rav Kahana, this is talking about Balav Lo Tasser. It's talking about the lav of Lo Tasser. So the other Chachamim laughed at him, right? Laughed at Rav Bar Shva. And they said, what do you mean? Lav Lo Tasser, it's all right. What kind of an answer is that? You told me to talk about this lav. It's a lav. A lav is a lav is a lav. Says Rav Kahana, Amar Rav Kahana, Gavra Rabba, Amar Milta. If a great person says something, Lo Tachichu Alei, don't just laugh at him. You have to understand what he means. Kol Mile Derabanan Asmechinu Alav Delo Tasur. Mishum Kvodo Sharu Rabbanan. So what's the answer? What's the answer over here? So the way that the Rambam understands this line of the Gemara, and the way Rashi understands this line of the Gemara is what? Well, how do they understand it? They were talking about an Isur Dirabanan. But every Isur Dirabanan is based on Lotasur. So it is an Isur Daraita, and really we would say that what? That since it's an Isur Daraita, Ein Chachma in Tumah Eitz LeNeged Hashem, but why don't we say that? That's not how they instituted, right? They because of Kavod Abriya, Chacham one goes there in these cases, okay, right? Beseder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, if you look at Rashi again says, "Utekakasha l'chuda araitahu." You're right. Every drabbanan is based on the right, but Rabbanan achluli akrayu lavor divrehem hechad ika kavod abriya. Chacham said, "With this kavod abriya, we're mochel." You know, in other words, tnai. Okay, again, this idea of tnai. The first thing that we see is that this Gemara, and I'm not saying there's no other way of learning the Gemara. There's certainly other ways of learning Gemara. You learn the Gemara like Rashi. It's a pretty basic way to learn the Gemara. You learn Rashi and the Gemara like Rashi. Lefi Pshuto, this Gemara is not only a source for the Ramban's interpretation of the Rambam, right? That of Tanai, right? That detail in this Rambam in Shorash Rishon. This Gemara is in fact a basis for what? And the Rambam quotes it as such. This is a basis for the whole sheet of the Rambam, right? In other words, I'm not saying the Ramban didn't understand this Gemara in a different way, but clearly one could easily learn that this Gemara is saying exactly the Rambam in Shorash Rishon, that every drabbanan is lo tasor, right? However, there are cases in which Chachamim limited the Isur, right? Lo gazer be Rabbanan. Learn a word tonight.
Which cases did they not limit the Isur?
No. Sometimes.
They always made it like kula, a safek.
Right, that's in terms of safek. This is a case of vadai. They said that it's mutter even be vadai. Why? Because of kavod abriya. And there are different limitations. This is one limitation. Safek is another thing. Again, this is not talking about safek. This is not talking about safek. But beseder. But the principle of tnai is certainly a cornerstone of this sugya according to the interpretation of Rashi. Okay, and in fact, one could argue the pshuto in the sugya. That's really what the Gemara is saying. Now the Gemara goes on, and there's more to discuss, and we're not going to get into everything. But this is the basic part of the sugya that concerns us for the moment. Now, as I mentioned before, there's another aspect, and that's the very end of the sugya, where the Gemara concludes by saying that when it's Sheva Al Tasa, where I'm over on the Isur passively, then also we say that Kavod Abriyot is Docha even in Isur Daraita. Okay, if it's Sheva Al Tasa, it's passive. The Seder?
What's that supposed to do?
What?
What's that supposed to do? Let's go to Isur.
No. Okay. Now again, that's a question of how you understand the Gemara, but okay, that's the last line. Says the Rambam in Hilchot Kilayim, Perek Yud Halach Chavtet. The Rush disagrees, but this is what the Rambam says. Okay. There's again a vast literature in Achronim, a little bit of Mishon, but especially in Achronim about this Rambam. A wild... Wild Rambam. Rambam says as follows. Haroa kilayim shel Torah al chavero. Afilu haya mahalech b'shuk. Kofetz lo v'koro alav miyad. Okay, I see my friend is walking and he's wearing this clothing and I recognize that it's in fact shatnez. V'afilu haya rabo shelim do chachma, parenthetically, right, to accommodate the in cholkim kavod the rav part of this statement. She'ein kavod habriyo docha iser lo tasei hamefurash b'torah. Ram says that kavod habriyo. Now let's leave the Gemara for a moment. Let's go to the Rambam. Ram says several things. Number one, kavod habriyo. Let's put it this way: an iser that is mefurash b'torah, an explicit, right, is greater than kavod habriyo. That's number one. Principle number one. Number two, continues the Rambam. V'lama nidche b'sheva veda m'pnei shulav shel mamon. Okay, that's part of the sugi we skipped. V'lama nidche b'tumat meit hol part hakatav lachotol. Okay, that's an exception. Etc. Aval davar she'isuro midivrehem, but a drabanan says the Rambam. Harei hu nidche mipnei kavod abriot bechol makom. Okay.
What's the first principle?
The second principle. First principle is that a isur that is mefurash b'Torah, that's explicit in the Torah, beats out kavod abriot. The second is that an isur drabanan, okay. Right, so kavod habriyot beats out an iser derabana. That's the second principle, the second major principle in the Rambam. Right? Okay, so far so good. Next, continues the Rambam. Harei unidchem bei kavod habriyot b'chomakom ba'apol pish katu b'torah lo tasur min hadavar. Even though there's lotasur, we recognize here the principle of the Rambam from Shorash Rishon, right? Okay? Harei lav zeh nidche mipnei kavod abriyot. But the lav, this lav of lotasur is nidche. Okay, number three, lotasur, right? Kavod abriyot beats out lotasur. Okay. Now, this parenthetic.
Isn't
Lotasur just miserable? Right, number three is essentially a restatement of number two, that's why I put it in brackets. But okay, now I have a question. What happens if I have, I'll ask you number four, which is not in the Rambam. Let's say I have an Isur de'oraita, which is Eino Mifurash B'Torah.
Oh, meaning the Rabbanan said
it. I don't want to give you an example. I'm just asking. I know that if it's an Isur, which is Mefurash B'Torah, right? Mm-hmm. So then it beats out Kavod Abriyot. I know if it's a Rabbanan, right? L'cha'ora, the implication of the Rambam is, right, if I do kind of a chart, I mean, a line here. So I have Mefurash B'Torah, I have Rabbanan, and I have Torah, but not Mefurash B'Torah, right? That's someplace in between. So I know that in this case, Kavod Abriyot does not beat it out. In the case of Rabbanan, yes. But isn't there aren't there imposing implications for the middle case? Yeah.
For the Rambam, though, Rabbanan's an example of
Isur D'oraita
Shein
Ramah Furash? Oh, good. Okay, so if we're following how the Rambam understands this Gemara, so that's exactly what the Rambam is saying here. Absolutely. Okay, so the point is that what we're really saying is that we're making a distinction between, right, it's not three categories, but rather,
two?
What we're saying is that another way of saying that of Isur D'rabbanan is a d'oraita, which is eino mefurash. And we need to go into that a little bit more. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Okay, now here's the key question in the Rambam. Here's the key question. Well, that's the following question. If I see my friend, this is the question of questions, is why the Rush disagrees with the Rambam. This is a question that Achorim deal with. This is the crux of everything, okay? And I'd like to suggest a different answer than is usually given, because I don't... Well, whatever. Not satisfied with what is usually said, but we'll... Questions like this. If I see my friend wearing shatnez, okay? I see my friend wearing shatnez. Okay? I see my friend wearing shatnez. And I know he's wearing shatnez, but he doesn't know he's wearing shatnez. Okay? But I know he's wearing shatnez. So Rambam says, what do I have to do?
Tear it off.
Okay. Says the Rambam, I have to tear it off. But I want to ask the Rambam the following question. And if I don't tear it off, okay, am I violating an Isur Lo Tase Hamefurash B'Torah And I'll go a step further. My violating it bekum vase. Okay, but even if you want to leave out the last part about whether I'm actively or passively, but am I violating a da'oraita by not taking his clothing off of him? Okay, and the clear answer is no. There's no way. There's no way that I am violating a lo tase, a mefurish b'Torah, by not taking his clothing off. There's no way.
I mean, you're violating. If it was on you, you would be violating.
Of course, but it's not on me. It's on him. What's that? So it's everyone see that? Is that reasonable? Yes. Okay.
Why are you saying it's not?
What lo tase?
You're obligated to take it off yourself. Why am I obligated to take it off?
Because that's not in the Torah.
If I'm wearing the shatnez, I can tell you exactly what lo tase mefurish b'Torah I'm violating by wearing the shatnez. But if he's wearing the shatnez, how am I violating a lo tase?
In general, you've got no obligation. Or do you have no
I'm not saying I don't have an obligation. I'm saying, am I violating a lo tase mefurish b'Torah? It's not the same question.
No.
In other words, if I am not mekayim, hocheach tochiach tamitecha, right? So I'm violating a lo tase mefurish b'Torah? Again, there's a large space. There's a large space between, but that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that lo tasei hamefurash b'Torah, not an asei. We don't say this about aseis. A lo tasei hamefurash b'Torah, right? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that I don't have an obligation to tell him that he's wearing shatnez. I'm not saying that I have an obligation to do something about it. I'm not denying it. I'm not even saying that's not d'oraita. Maybe it's d'oraita even. But a lo tase, I'm over on a lav by not taking off his clothing? That's very hard to imagine. Okay. Gemara talks about a distinction by lifnei iver, right, which is the only lav that we can imagine that maybe I'm over on. The Gemara distinguishes by lifnei iver, if I'm not mistaken, between chad iver of dinar and trei iver of dinar, right, whether, if my friend says to me, I want to eat that cheeseburger. Whatever, I want to eat that, non-kosher, I want to eat that ham, whatever it is. And I hand it to him. So if we're on two sides of the river and he couldn't get to it without my help, that's lifnei iver d'oraita. But if he's standing next to me and he could just take it himself and I'm just passing it to him, so yes, also for me to give it to him, but that's not, lifnei iver d'oraita. If I don't give it to him, I don't give him the shanes, I'm just standing there passively, I don't do anything, so I'm over in a low class, I'm a forest batara, very hard to imagine, very difficult to suggest. So I have the following question. Does the Rambam agree that Kavod Habriot is docha anything less than a low tasem a forest batara? If something is not a lo tasem mefurish b'Torah, is kavod habriyot docha?
Yes.
For sure, right? Yes. Kavod habriyot docha. If it's not a lo tasem mefurish b'Torah, something less than that, okay? Is kavod habriyot docha? So I have a simple question on the Rambam. I don't understand. My friend is wearing shatnez. If I don't do anything, I'm not going to violate a lo tasem mefurish b'Torah. So let's say that I'm being over on an assay, or a drabbanon, or whatever it is. Well, let's call it X. I'm being over on X. But X is less than a lo tasem mefurish b'Torah. So isn't there the issue of his kavod habriyot, which should beat out whatever Easter I might have by passively not taking off his clothing? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
By the Rambam's own rules, why don't we say that I don't take off his clothing because his kavod habriyot beats out whatever Easter I may have, which is certainly less than a lo tasem mefurish b'Torah? Isn't that a clear and obvious question? Do you understand the problem with the Rambam?
Wait, what's his rule again?
Okay, I only ignore the kavod habriyot. I only say the kavod habriyot loses if, in order to preserve the kavod habriyot, I'm going to have to violate a lo tasem mefurish b'Torah. So if I don't take off his clothing,
You're not violating.
I'm not violating a lota samefurish b'torah. And at the same time, by taking off his clothing, I'm negating his kavod abriyot. So shouldn't his kavod abriyot? It doesn't matter. What does it make? What's my kavod abriyot? His kavod abriyot. But my isur is a little isur, right? And it's going up against kavod abriyot. So I should say that his kavod abriyot should be docha.
So I'll give this specific case and then say that you have to take it off. He does, right?
Yes, haroa kilaim shel tarah chavera, afilo em halach b'shuk, kopitz lo v'koro alav miyad. So if we're talking about whether I have to take it off of myself, that's a different question. That I understand. But the Rambam's case, I'm talking about taking it off someone else. So I don't have a lo taseh mafurash. I'm going to be passive. So it's right? You want to understand what bothers me here?
Mm-hmm.
It's Rambam. What's he talking
about? Maybe it's the right to mafurash.
If it's not mefurash, the Rambam says that ein kavod abriyot docha isur lo taseh hamefurash b'tor. Right? It's a problem, correct? So how do you understand the Rambam? Hilchot Kilayim, very beginning of the Rambam Hilchot Kilayim, Perek Yud Alachatet, right there. Haroach Kilayim Shal Torah Al Chavero Afilu Hayim Halach Peshuk Kofetz Lo Koral Lamiyat. That's the case. Afilu Hayim Rabbu Tzom Tzom She'ein Kavod Habriyo Docha Yisur Lo Tasem Mefurish B'Torah. Understand what Yisur Lo Tasem Mefurish B'Torah are we talking about? Nope. No one's going to help the Rambam? Anyone compassion? No one has compassion on the poor Rambam here?
Poor Rambam.
Maybe it's a bit Yosef will
have some compassion on the Rambam.
I'm sure he did, but Yosef is a big fan of the Rambam. But And it happens to be that Yosef understood the Rambam very well. That's why he says what he does. It's a back and forth between the discussion of the Beit Yosef and the Achronim discussing the Beit Yosef and / Shulchan Aruch. Back and forth. Very interesting. And many say that Beit Yosef makes no sense. Not true. Beit Yosef makes perfect sense. Beit Yosef says something very fascinating. Beit Yosef says, what? Do you get to Beit Yosef? It's a wild Beit Yosef, right? He says that I'm coming home from Shul, right? I'm coming home from Shul, and I'm wearing my talis. Now, I'm coming home from Shul, let's say this, past Shabbos, and it's cold. I don't remember how cold it was, but let's say it's cold. I think it was pretty cold this past Shabbos, at least in the Beit Daniel. So I'm wearing my talis. But I'm wearing my talis over my coat, over my sweater, over my shirt, over, my tzitzis, over my undershirt, like, I have, seven layers there going on, whatever it is, I didn't count, but whatever, five, six layers, all together. I'm wearing my talis, and the tzitzit become pasul, so I'm not allowed to wear, and let's say that there's no erev, I'm in a karmelit. It's an Isur D'Rabbanan of Hotzah, not an Isur D'Oraita, okay? Not a Rishit Torah, I'm a karmelit. Says the Beit Yosef, I don't have to take off my talit until I get home. I can wear my talit home. Why? Because of kavod habriyot. Because of kavod habriyot?
Because you're going to be
Aska. No, because of kavod habriyot. What kind of kavod habriyot? I'm going to take off my talit, so it's going to be an embarrassment for me to walk around without my talit. Because what? I'm still wearing my coat and my sweater and my shirt. Why? What's going to be the big deal if I'm not wearing, walking down the street, I'm not wearing my talit? What does that mean? You understand what I'm saying?
Is kavod habriyot a view for the embarrassment of the person? Is it embarrassment necessarily?
A lot of things are embarrassment, human dignity, whatever you want to call it. But I'm not wearing my... what does it make if I'm not wearing my talit? You know what I'm saying? The Beit Yosef is based on a Gemara. True. But the Gemara is talking about when the talit was their basic garment. Right? That's all they were wearing. right? They're wearing a tallit. So you take off your tallit. You're not dressed. So I understand that that's covered up bria. But if I have my tallit on top of another six layers, so that's covered up bria. But that's what the Beit Yosef says. And it makes perfect sense, even though some Achronim attacked Beit Yosef for saying it. Yeah, because if the tzitzit is pasul, then it's no longer considered to be wearing it, it's considered to be carrying it. That's clear. In other words, the basic facts in the Gemara are clear. That it's an Iser Hotzah, but if it's a Drabbanan, you're allowed to do it. But the problem is, the Gemara is talking about when the tallit was the basic garment. Beit Yosef wants to say it's true even in his time, where you're wearing the tallit on top of your X number of layers of clothing. That's the Chiddush of Beit Yosef.
Because you're embarrassed that it ripped?
I didn't say that. And I wouldn't say that. That's not the answer. Nusa understands Pshat and the Rambam? Who understands Pshat and the Rambam? I can't give a long list of people who don't understand Pshat and the Rambam. Okay. Should we suggest an idea on the Rambam?
I need to redefine covered up for you.
Beseder, okay.
I mean, I don't know how, but...
Oh. Okay. Beseder.
Obviously, it's not about being embarrassed.
You're right. And embarrassment is really important. Everyone say, human dignity. Okay, Rabos, I'd like to tell you something, but it's radical. But I think it's what the Rambam's saying. No, it's a hard idea. It's a hard idea. But it's very, very fascinating. And it's, I think, clearly what the Rambam understood. And it's Pshat and the Gemara. And this is what the Rambam is saying. Rambam says as follows. Please listen carefully because it's going to bring together everything. At least at this shlaf, right? Everything on side one. Yes, please.
Right.
Go ahead.
If I just go according to everything you said, but according to the Rambam, to the Rambam, to just the right side.
Yeah.
The farash, then according to the Yosef, it doesn't matter if you serve the sides of the Rambam.
It doesn't matter that what?
Like, according to the Gospel, it's when Israel decides to Rabbanan and went in the Carmelite.
Why not? Gemara says a million times. The Rambam says clearly. It says, Aval davar shisur min divrayim, harayu nidcha mipnei kavod abriya, b'chol makom. So it doesn't matter.
Then he can't say in one place that it's on the level of Doraisa, even though it's, like, just because of Einam
Forash,
the
difference
between whether Kavanah Briah trumps or not is because of
Forash
or not. Because
that's what he says. Right? You told me that yourself.
Right. But in all other cases, it's treated like a
Doraita,
you said.
No, I'm saying it's treated like a Doraita. In principle, it's a Doraita. It's not treated that way because of Tanai.
Was part of the Tanai that Kavanah Briah would.
That is also an example of Tanai. Right? That's what we saw again and again. Lo Gazu Be'erbanan and Rabbanan, you know, Achlayu Le Yakrayu and things like that. Mm. The Pshat is like this. This is what the Rambam is saying. It involves a philosophical, theological point, a halachic point, and let's see, like this. I'm saying like this. What Rav is telling us, Rav is the cornerstone of this whole sugya. What Rav is telling us, I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Kol makom that haroa kilam v'gdol etzet right. Why? Because kol makom sheyesh chol Hashem and kol kol Rav. Or to put differently, where there's an iser covered up yard doesn't work. Why? What Rav is saying is the following idea according to Rambam. To do something which is asur is not kavara briyat by definition. That for me to be doing something, right, which the Torah is telling me this is not how a person should be acting, so that, if it's asur, then it's not kavod abriya. And as was correctly pointed out, it's not a function of whether I'm embarrassed by it or not embarrassed, whether I'm comfortable or not comfortable. Sometimes the greatest expression of human dignity is that I'm doing something even though it's not comfortable, but because it's the right thing. Says the Rambam, this is the yisod of the sugya of Ein Chachma Vein Tumah Eitz LeNegad Hashem. That's exactly what it means. That if the Torah is telling me, if Hashem is telling me this is an improper way to act, that it's usher to do X, then if I'm doing it, that can't be defined as Kavod HaBriyot. It's not what Kavod HaBriyot means. Kavod HaBriyot means to act in a way that I was created to act. I wasn't created to act this way. I wasn't created to wear shatnez. I wasn't created to do Yisur. So you'll ask. And let me add, it doesn't matter from the Rambam's perspective, and the way he understood the Gemara from the Gemara's perspective, it doesn't matter whether the Iser is Doraita or the Iser is Drabanan innately, because in any case the Torah is telling me not to do this, right? It's Lotasur. The only difference between a Drabanan and a Doraita is that when it comes to Drabanan, the specifics, the particulars of what is Asr and what's Mutar are not defined by the Torah. It's just a generic, listen to what Chacham tell me. So therefore, if Chachamim say, don't go in a Beit HaPras, or don't jump over a Rono that you don't know whether or not they have a Mechal al Tefach, if Chacham tell me that, but they say, but in a case of Kavod HaBriyot, you can, right? In a case where you're following the Avel, or the Avel's following you again, which probably Shom we learn, whatever. If I'm talking about in such a case where it could potentially come in conflict with Kavod HaBriyot, Chacham said in such a case, there is no Isur. Now, if there's no Isur, there's no problem of, there's no steer to Kavod HaBriyot, right? But what the Rambam is saying is, and this is how Rashi learns the Gemara as well, if you go through the Gemara, what you see is there is never a case where I'm doing an Isur, but I can do it because of Kavod HaBriyot. No, if I'm doing an Isur, it's not Kavod HaBriyot. But there are cases where X would have been an Isur, but because it involves an issue of Kavod HaBriyot, it's not us. Okay? Now. All these cases in the Gemara. Where Chachamim were not gozer in this case because of Kavod HaBriyot. But understand.
Had they been gozer,
that means. Exactly. And that's what why the Rambam emphasized this idea of Mefurash B'Torah, not Mefurash B'Torah. If it's Mefurash B'Torah, then the boundaries are clear cut, right? And I'm on the side of the Isur. If I'm on the side of the Isur, then Ein Chachma V'Tumah L'Neged Hashem. Period. Nothing to discuss. There's no Kavod HaBriyot. But if I'm talking about something where the Torah does not define the lines, where Chachamim define the lines, where they draw the lines, so then Chachamim can draw the lines differently to circumvent those areas where it's going to run into conflict with Kavod HaBriyot. And so they said, you're not allowed to carry objects in a karmelit. But we made an exception. Wearing improperly mitsuyat tzitzit, a talit rather, in a karmelit is not hotzah. Now, that's the beauty of the Beit Yosef. Right, it's the beauty of the Beit Yosef. But Yosef says the issue is not whether it's going to be undignified for me to walk without my talit or not today. It's not the issue. Chachamim excluded a talit she'ena metuyetzet from the Easter of Carmelit. It's not usher in the first place. And therefore, we don't say that since at a certain point in history, in the history of clothing that people wore in different places, but let's say that in the year 650, people started wearing clothing under their talit. So that doesn't mean that then all of a sudden a talit that's not mitsuyetze properly becomes an object of hotzah in Rishut Haran, in a karmelit. Because who instituted it at that point? Who answered it at that point? Chachamim had excluded, when they made the Easter of Karmelit, they excluded this case from Karmelit. Therefore, if I'm walking home, and there's no issue of Kavod HaBriyot, right? Because I have another six layers underneath, and my talit is not mitzvah. So says the Beit Yosef, there's no problem. Chacham said this is not Hotzah. Right? Were Chacham to have included this in Hotzah, then I would have no right to do it, even if I would be embarrassed, even if it would be undignified, because that's not called it's not dignified to wear something where it's going to be an Iser to wear it, or to carry it. This is what the Beit Yosef is saying, and that's really, it's firmly rooted in the Rambam, right? So the Rambam says, now we understand the Rambam beautifully. The Rambam says, if I see Chatnez on my friend, and I know that he's wearing shayes and he doesn't know, so I have to take it off of him. I say, but one second, but what about Kavod HaBriyot? What's the answer? He is wearing shatnez, it's not Kavod HaBriyot for him. There is no issue of Kavod HaBriyot here. And that's why we go back to the regular principle of that I have to take it off him because of Hocheach Tochiach or whatever the case may be. Even though it's not a lavim first, doesn't matter, it's not a lavim first, Batar, because since there is no heter, right? Since it's a Doraita, since the boundaries are clearly defined that he's wearing Shatnez Doraita, so he's doing an Easter. If he's doing an Easter, it's not Kavod HaBriyot for him to keep it on. Therefore, if there's no Kavod HaBriyot, there's no heter for me to not take it off of him. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the Rambam is saying here. And the Rambam, in other words, the whole sheet of the Rambam, that every Durabbanan is Lo Tasor, and then with the Ramban's explanation of Tanai, every single piece of that is Beferish in our Gemara. Again, not to say you can't learn the Gemara differently, but the way the Rambam read the Gemara, all of this whole Chiddush and Shor Shavishon, including the Ramban's explanation of the Rambam, that's the whole Yisod of the Sugya. That the tension between the cases where we say Kavod HaBriyot works and doesn't is there the possibility, right, is there the possibility to redefine the boundary so it's not Aser? But if it's Aser, that's Aser. There's no Kavod HaBriyot.
So Kavod HaBriyot could either mean following Torah or being dignified.
Well, put it differently, we don't say that it's considered human dignity to be acting in a way that's Aser. And therefore, yes, it's a reason for Chacham to redefine the boundaries. It's a motive for Chacham to be gozer this way rather than that way, rather than the way they would have naturally done it were there to be no other considerations. It's something that Chacham took into account in how they, where they Aser and where they didn't Aser. But if something is indeed Aser, so then it's not Kavod HaBriyot. That's the Yisod of the Sugya. And it dovetails perfectly with everything the Rambam says about Durabbanans and Lo Tasur and the idea of Tanai that the Ramban interjects in order to explain the Rambam. And what I've shown you is part of the reason why I think that the Ramban suggestion is clearly the Pshat of the Rambam and not other suggestions that are made by Achronim, because it's just so clear from from this Rambam that this is how the Rambam himself learned the whole inyan of Lo Tasur, etc. That's the point about what the Rambam says in Hilchot Kalayim is almost beferish. Maybe go so far as to say it is beferish what the Ramban says about Tanai. In other words, and that's why once we said that we saw the Ramban, right? It's clear that that's why we have the distinction between this dichotomy between lav and meforish b'Torah and Drabanas, right? And the Ram says, even though Drabanas is also Lo Tasur, yep, the boundary is not Mefurish B'Torah. What does that mean? It means that this is the idea of Tanai. Right? The Ramban is almost written explicitly in Hilchot Kalayim, if not in Shorash Rishon. When you put the two together, it's clear what the sheet of the Rambam is. Okay, Beseder? You with me so far? Yes? Okay. Beseder. This is the first thing that I want to do with you. Ezra Hashem. Next time we're going to look at Shor Sheni. I want to just introduce it for 2 minutes, and then we're going to stop at this point. But I just want to read you just 2.5 lines from the Ramban. The Ramban in his Hasagot on the Rambam, which as I said before, is like a sefer by itself. Tremendous, tremendously important stuff in both Sefer Mitzvah of the Rambam and the Ramban's Hasagot. The Ramban says as follows, just a tiny snippet. V'zeh masha ya b'dati l'chtov al ikar hazeh b'tachlit ha-kitzur. After pages and pages, the Ramban writes, okay, what I want to say about Shor Sheni, this is what I want to say in the briefest possible way. And this is after many, 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 many pages. The Ramban finally says, This is why the Ramban, I'm sorry, says, this is what I want to say in the briefest possible way, and it's almost funny if you look at it in context, really. V'yadati ki od shmo rabot b'gemar sotrot, and you know, I know there are many other sugyot against what the Rambam says. Don't think I'm not aware that the Rambam is against many other sugyot besides the ones that I mentioned. Ki ha-sefer hazeh, now listen carefully to this line, this is what I want to share with you. Ki ha-sefer hazeh la-rabzal, this sefer of the Rambams, meaning sefer ha-mitzvot, inyano mamtakim, ah, it's delicious. V'kulo machmadim, it's all wonderful, right? Milvad, except Haikar hazeh, except for Shorosheini, Shu Oker Harim Gdolim Batalmud, which is a phenomenal play on words, twist of a phrase, and anyhow, the Gemara Sanhedrin said, but anyhow, Oker Harim Gdolim Batalmud, Mapil Chomot Betzirot B'Gemara. Right, it's tremendous, it destroys great mountains, it uproots great mountains and destroys fortified walls in the Gemara. Vanyan lomdei ha-gemara, that which the Rambam says in Shor Sheni, for those who learn Gemara, it's ra umar. Okay, it's ra umar. Yishtakea hadavar v'lo yemar. Okay, what the Rambam says here should be, you know, should be forgotten and not said. Okay, now I want to point out one thing before we break, and that's this. Very important to understand this. This makes a world of difference. It's a point that people miss all the time, including, I've seen this in Svarim, I've heard this in Shiurim, and I mentioned it before, but it bears repeating. You've got to know, the Ramban in his Hasagot, whether it's in the Milchamot Hashem, or whether it's in Hasagot on Sefer HaMitzvah, many, many, many of the Ramban Svarim. Ramban wrote many Svarim. The entire raison d'etre of those Svarim was, I'm not saying all the Ramban Svarim, but there's a whole genre of Svarim within the writings of the Ramban, several different Svarim, where the Ramban wrote specifically to defend an earlier great Gaon or Rishon against a Rishon that comes afterwards. Okay, to defend the Rif from the Baal Ma'or, to defend the Bahad from the Rambam, and so on. Okay, the Ramban did this quite a bit. But what you have to understand is, and the Ramban says this explicitly, but you have to be sensitive to it. He says it more than once. There's a difference between saying, I can defend what the Bahag says, or what the Rif says, etc., and I'm going to attack the Rambam or the Baal Ma'or or whoever for attacking them and saying that what they're saying is nonsense. I'm going to defend that first Rishon. It doesn't mean I agree with the first Rishon or Gaon. And it doesn't mean that I disagree with the second one. Okay?
What do you mean?
Meaning there's a difference between saying that a point of view is legitimate and between saying that it is correct. Not the same thing. The Ramban talks in his Akdamah in Machamot at great length about this idea. Important to know the difference between something being wrong, meaning that it's just not a possibility, in between it being possible, it's a way you can learn it, but I don't think that ultimately that's the correct, you know, maskana. And the Ramban worked with that distinction to the nth degree. And therefore, people get confused. I've seen this in many Svarim, where it's black and white. An out-and-out mistake. There's no other way of putting it. Where people think that the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam or disagrees with the Baal, especially with the Rambam, or think clearly disagreeing with the Rambam, and it's not true. He agrees with the Rambam. I'm not saying he always does, but very often he does. And he's just saying, I'm going to explain to you why the attack of the Rambam is wrong. Right? Well, maskana, I agree with the Rambam. But the Bahag wasn't the idiot that the Rambam made him out to be, right? And this is something which you find again and again and again. Fascinating, incidentally, that one of the Talmidei HaRambam, one of the great Talmidim of the great Talmidim of the Ramban, namely the Ritva, right? The Ritva was the Talmud of the Rashban, the Raha, wrote an entire Sefer to defend the Rambam against the attacks of the Ramban, okay?
Yeah. Meaning that the Rambam is actually right, that the
Bahag
is really wrong.
Where the Rambam, where the Ramban, particularly on Chumash, attacks the Rambam, particularly in Mor Nevuchim and Perash Mishnayot, And the Ritva, who's from, again, indirectly, Talmud Ramban, says, the Ramban is right. But the Rambam wasn't the idiot that the Ramban made him out to be. I'm going to explain what the Rambam meant. He wrote a whole sefer based on that idea called Sefer HaZikaron. Okay, which he goes through Chumash and all the places where the Ramban attacks the Rambam, and he defends the Rambam, even though he says Lamaskan, he says, the Rambam was really right. The Rambam was a makubal, the Rambam was only a rationalist, and I'm not saying I agree with him, I'm saying this is what the Ritva says. The Ritva says that, you know, the Rambam was only a rationalist, whereas the Ramban was a Kabbalist, and what the Ramban says is ultimately right. However, the Rambam's Shita made sense on its own terms. In other words, using that type of approach, it makes sense. And it's not stupidity that the Rambam, the Ramban makes it out to be, and he writes this whole sefer defending the Rambam, even though he agrees with the Ramban. Okay, interesting. The same thing that the Ramban made a career of ended up happening to him as well in the long run. But in any case, my point is this. Sometimes people read the Ramban and think that he is disagreeing with the Rambam. Okay? Where very often that's not the case. I just want to give you one example, and with that I'm going to conclude. It's an example that I quote all the time. I'm sure I mentioned it before. I remember mentioning it before, I think, to you people, but I want to mention it again because it's such a common mistake. I've seen it in very popular Sfarim, heard this a million times. Be aware of it. Don't fall into the trap. Okay? If you've ever heard of the famous machloket between the Ramban and the Rambam, as to whether Anochi, right, at the beginning of the Asarah Dibrot, Anochi Hashem Alkecha, whether that's a mitzvah to say or not a mitzvah, right, whether it's a mitzvah or just a statement, quoted all the time as machloket between the Ramban and the Rambam, no such machloket exists. The Ramban does not disagree with the Rambam. Okay, it's machloket between the Ramban and the Rambam on the one hand and the Bahag on the other hand. But the Ramban says very clearly, both in his Parash on Chumash, and in Sefer Mitzvot, like the Rambam. The only thing is that the Ramban explains why the Bahag Shita is valid. He gives proofs for it, and what it's based on, and how it makes sense. So people think the Ramban is arguing. He argues with the fact that the Rambam dismisses it. So, you know, totally. But he doesn't. In the end of the day, he agrees with the Rambam. Okay. And this supposed machloket between the Ramban and the Rambam, it just doesn't exist. It's a mistake that people make all the time. So that's why I'm mentioning. Notice what the Ramban says here. Ki ha-sefer hazeh la-ravzal. This is the hasagot of the Ramban. Running hasagot throughout all the Sefer Mitzvot. Right? This is wrong. This is right. He argues with Rambam again and again. No. In yano mamtakim v'kulo machmadim. Novad ha-ikar hazeh. Leave me aside, Shorosheni. The Ramban says, I'll discuss, I'll critique, I'll say that you could say otherwise. Tachlis, Sefer Mitzvot is great. Okay? Understand that. It's a very important yisod. Okay, we will discuss Be'ezra Hashem, the Pshat in Shorosh Sheni next time. Okay, so please prepare for that. Please prepare for it very well, very carefully. Okay, next time, meaning on Yom Chamishi, thank you. Yom Chamishi,
Thursday.
I'm going to ask you to please prepare side two. Okay, Rambam Shita and Tzvei Sofrim. Please. Please go through carefully. The Rambam, please go carefully through the Ramban, okay? Very, very carefully and thoroughly, please, okay? And to do it well, because it's very important, and it's very tricky, and if you don't do it well, you're not going to get it clear, really, really, okay? And we're going to discuss what's going on, but you have to have a really firm grasp of it before we begin, okay? That's the plan. One more second. But please, we really have to go through it very, very carefully. 1 second. What do I want to say about this? Oh, yes. And I know that it's more than likely that you have come across these sources before. I know it's more than likely that you've, you know, discussed it before, etc. Nonetheless, do it well. I think that probably there'll be something added, and we'll discuss further. Okay? Have a good day.